What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to host the show? Go ahead.
Give the openings. When did you get such a serious intro? Baseball
is
boring.
This is
not this kind of show.
No, this is the radio. I'm trying to merge the podcast world and the radio world.
Tristan. Oh.
By the way, this is Rob Bradford. I'm with Gordo Playtesting, and this is Tristan Casas, who's hosting
the
show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
I've offered you the opportunity to host Baseball Isn't Boring before, I think. Amongst other things,
right? No, I'm always willing to come on the show, but I don't want to. I don't want to be the star. I just want.
No, we're just three guys talking.
I know.
We're chopping it up, talking ball.
And off season, amongst other things, we could talk about whatever. Now,
all right. Well, the first thing is we had you were the latest to commit to getting a Baseball Isn't Boring tattoo if you win the World Series.
Yeah, it could be as small as I need it to be, right? Like in any part of my body. So yes, you have it right here on the recording. On air, January 11, 25. Yeah, I'll get a Baseball Isn't Boring.
All right.
All right. Let's go.
Right.
Chip, yeah, baby. Let's go. Yeah,
let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go,
B-Town.
Let's go. What I'm talking about. This is the type of energy we're
getting.
Let's go.
I'm getting that tat. My first tat is going to be a B.I.B., maybe a little bib right across my chest, you know? So it's like, oh, I'm wearing a bib all the time. B.I.B.
And if you want to put a QR code on it, just so people can subscribe to the podcast in a moment, or buy some merch, if you can do that too. You're a next level thinker. I know that you always think about this stuff.
Yeah, just hit up my agency for some advertising, memorabilia deal type thing.
All right. Well, hey, listen, you look fantastic, Tristan.
You got the beard going.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
yeah. I like the beard look.
Thank you. I grow it out with my dad in the off seasons because he grows a pretty sick one as well. So we use it as a little bonding experience. Go to the barbershop, get chopped up, and, you know, just spend some time together. And we got something to talk about, you know. So we have a little competition growing it out. But, yeah, it's not a look that I like to rock in the season yet. I think I like the clean shave look for the next couple years. And then I'm not sure when I'm going to start it, but I need to start, like, a facial hair progression, right, where I go mustache for a season, I go goatee for one, and then I go both, you know, mustache, goatee, maybe a handlebar type deal, and then rock it out. So
mutton chops, like the mutton chops.
Yeah,
you could do that right now. Who's got a clippers? Anyone? No. I mean, this, come on, what's going on with you guys?
When you shave it
for anything,
when you shave it, do you do all sorts of crazy things before you get it clean shaven?
Yeah, I do. I my favorite thing to do is like a lightning bolt. So like I'll go like that all the way down, like my whole like under part will be shaved, but then like, yeah, I'll just do like a like some stripes or something, and then I'll do it like on one side and not the other, so it just looks like a complete disaster before I just go ahead and shave it off.
So it's like a lightning bolt half chin strap.
Yeah, but then I leave a mustache for about 2 weeks, so like I'll probably shave it at the end of the month just so my face can like get some sun before spring training, and then, but I'll rock the mustache for a couple weeks and then shave it off right after Valentine's Day.
See, this is the kind of information that we need. We've already
only get this on Baseball's
Report. We've already got a truckload of information.
We are methodical creatures. We're thought out, and we're definitely planned.
I want to know when you say, all right, it's time to have a social media post of me without, not me, with you without your shirt on taking swings. Like this is this is the time to do it. And how do you do that? Who does? I want to know the inner workings of Tristan Casas' social media team.
Right?
How does
no,
this
it's all me. It's all me. Contrary to popular belief, sometimes I defer my responsibilities to a management team, which is a complete lie. But yeah, for me in Miami, especially, shirts are optional. The only time I have to put one on is to go into businesses, you know, some a store, a restaurant, a respectable facility. So other than that, I mean, in the car, in the weight room, all over practice, at the field, yeah, shirtless.
For sure. I feel like one of the things that we agreed to do in the coming year was we were going to do a walk and talk without our shirts on.
The thing is that if you...
Oh, you want that right now more than ever, Rob.
The thing is, I know there's pictures out there. If you used to look like I did without a shirt, you'd want to wear nothing at all, knowing what I look like now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like from where I started to where I'm at right now, it's just a...
Give us some numbers. Give us some analytics.
Well... I've been the same weight since I was probably 12. Oh. So for half my life now, I've probably weighed about 230 pounds.
Okay.
So imagine a 12-year-old, 5'6", 230-pound beast walking up to the plate, absolutely just mashing balls, getting thrown out at first base on hits to right field. So, nah, it's absolutely unreal. Hitting the ball to the fence and getting a single. That's where I was at 12. We divide and conquer.
But now the body fat percentage is down from the 12-year-old Tristan?
Yeah, probably. I lengthened out about a foot and a half. So
a little bit taller.
Yeah, so probably about a foot since I've been like 12. But I've been this size since I was in 10th grade, so
all right.
A lot of time to adjust.
All right, well, speaking of adjusting, this is a terrible segue. You saw the Netflix series for the first time, which everybody knows, Tristan. Like, you're going to be an enormous part of this for good reason. You got a good personality. You're a good player. And you also allowed them access. You were very, very open to it. But today was the first time I think that you saw it, right? You saw any clip of it, correct?
Yeah. First time. I hadn't been able to see anything before. And they didn't have anything edited throughout the season. I don't know if they were doing it as the season went or just wait till after. But, yeah, no, I hadn't.
It was pretty much a trailer, and then they had opening day. But if I had to do the breakdown, speaking of analytics, the breakdown of how many times that you were in it, you dominated it already. Including, by the way, a great scene where you ground out to second. And you're just swearing at yourself.
Very real.
Very real. You remember that part? You don't.
Was it in the trailer right now?
Yeah.
It was. Oh,
I might have
blocked that one. I might have missed it.
All right. And what part did you see it?
He's eating pancakes in another scene.
I did. No, I watched the scene of me and Cutter. I mean, that's just a natural reaction, you know, that I have. And, you know, that's the beauty of the documentary is going to be the raw, authentic, just, you know, reactionary things that fans don't get on a daily basis. And, you know, it's going to be uncut. It's going to be, you know, real. And hopefully Greg, he depicts us in a light that really shows the difficulties that we go through every single day, mentally, physically. But, yeah, I mean... As baseball players, you know, we're so passionate, and it's a game of failure. It's so frustrating because you could do everything right and still have a bad result, and then you get lucky sometimes, and you can't justify why things are the way they are. But hopefully, this documentary gives a lot of people insight as to what we go through, and yeah, I mean, reactions like that are a part of the game.
Podcasters are passionate too.
As they should be. Yeah, I mean, covering this great game
yep.
is fun all the time because you can go to the park and see something new every single day.
Yes, and that's why
it's not boring.
Yeah, that's why it's not boring.
Exactly.
So what is the part of Netflix? And I asked Giolito came on, I asked this, said, you know, all right, give me the moment you think, okay, that's going to be a good scene for Netflix for you.
Hopefully they got Jaren Duran's reaction to that that fan heckling him. That was awesome. hopefully the fight with Chris Martin, I saw a clip of that.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
With Quinn Berry. Yeah.
Quinn Berry. Hopefully they got... let me see. I mean, a lot of Sidon Rafael of Breaking Bats. That's hilarious to me all the time. All of it's going to be great. I think everybody's going to find everything to be a treat, whether it's insightful, funny, just, you know, authentic, real. I think it's going to be a great production, head to toe.
Is this the first time you were back with people? You went to story camp. How was story camp for you?
Yes, I have not been in isolation. Yeah, I'm back with people. But it makes me sound like I live under a rock, you know, in a cave in Miami. I pretty much do. But yeah, I got to hang out with Story and Vaughn, Ref Schneider, and Roman Anthony. So we got to go to Trevor's facility, which is a beautiful state of the art, absolute monster of a you know, workout place. So he really killed it with that. And yeah, we got to hang out there, meet up with his training staff, coaches. Everything that he does there is state of the art, top notch. So it explains why he's such a great athlete this late into his career. He takes such great care of his body, and to see his attention to detail, it fires us all up, you know, amongst other things that fire me up about Trevor Story. We're all inspired by him.
All right, Tristan. A year, easy.
That was one of my favorite moments of last year, Tristan.
Easy. Listen, it's all. You're in mid-season form.
Yeah.
About a year ago, you had contract talks with the Red Sox, right? And you said you never shy away from me asking about your contract, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So we
signed one at the beginning of the year. I just signed 1 year ones now.
So all right. So when was the last time you talked about a contract extension with the Red Sox?
Not since you've asked me again. Yeah, no.
So not since last spring training.
No conversations about it.
Nothing.
Not even a sliver of conversation about it yet. Hopefully, I put up some numbers and start that talks again.
Okay. And the last meat and potatoes question is trade rumors. Like, what is that like for you? Because you've never been through anything like the trade rumors that you've probably had to go through in the last month.
Right. I try not to pay attention too much about it. Just put my head down and understand that come March 28th, I'm going to be playing baseball. It doesn't really matter where it's at. It doesn't matter for who or what uni. Hopefully it's for the Boston Red Sox, because I don't play about those six letters on my jersey, that Boston or that Red Sox. You know, that's something that I hold dear to my heart. They welcome me with open arms since I signed professionally. They were my first team. Hopefully they're my last, but that's the business. And seeing the amount of turnover in my short career really just puts things in perspective, makes me understand that I appreciate every day here, because this is such a great organization. Guys coming from other places have a lot of high praise for literally everything about our organization, including the most thing that I hear about most is our training staff, state of the art, equipment, recovery, and then the attention to detail that our guys put towards keeping us on the field. That's what I've heard separates us from the other teams. So, that's what you want as a player, that attention to detail on all aspects. But yeah, hopefully it's here. But to hear my name thrown around, it's funny, because getting compared to the players that you hear in the trade talk, it's like, that guy's a pretty good player. Maybe I am too. So, it's cool.
Always looking at the bright side. Yeah. So, we appreciate you, and I hear the best wasabi in the entire country is in Fort Myers, so I look forward to that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm about it. Maybe a chaser this time or something. Maybe a piece of sushi to go with it. Maybe some sushi talk.
Whatever you need. We're here for
okay,
you.
Cool.
All right, Tristan. Thank you, everyone. All right.
Tristan Gossett.
All right, we appreciate Tristan, and we look forward to talking to him in just a couple weeks, shoving wasabi down his throat. All right, thank you to everybody. We got a trend right now. We'll come back with more Cavalcade of Stars. We're here at Fenway Fest. I'm Rob Bradford, Gordo's alongside. This is Baseball is the Ball. All right, excellent job, Tom.
Great song to send us back.
Great job, Tom. Great job.
Rob, trivia question.
Not college Tom, not intern Tom, no. Just Tom.
Whose walk-in song was this on the 2021?
Oh.
I think he might have been on 22 as well.
Oh. But maybe who was the second baseman?
It was a reliever.
Dylan Covey.
No. You want an answer?
Who?
Austin Davis. Big Fudge.
Big Fudge.
One of my favorite walk-in songs.
Big
it's an all-timer.
You know who I was talking to, speaking of reliever, this is the Baseballs and Boring program. We're live here at Fenway Park at Fenway Fest. That's Gordo, a playtestee. I'm Rob Bradford, of course, of the aforementioned Baseballs and Boring show, which you can subscribe to. You subscribe to playtestee as well. We encourage you. It's where all the greatest baseball talk happens, all these podcasts. And it's been fun. And it's funny, Gordon, my friend, my formal friend. So, when Tristan sits down, he sits down and he loves podcasting. Like, this is one of the things. I remember when we first started doing, he barely even knew what a podcast was. But he sits down and he's like, we're not doing this formally. Like, what, you know, he wants just like us talking about whatever. Just whatever it is.
He just wants a conversation.
Not,
yeah, it's less of an interview and it's more of just chopping it up.
Yeah.
What we said at the start.
Yeah, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, this is where, you know, the rubber meets the road when it comes to radio and podcasting, and that's why I think we all love doing radio in the form of podcasting, which is what this show was all last year and will continue to be. So we appreciate it. But I went astray from what I was talking about, which was elite relievers. I was talking to Ramon Vasquez. They had all the coaches come up, the Red Sox coaches here at Fenway Fest, and they have media availability for a lot of people, coaches included. And Ramon is coaching and down in Puerto Rico, talking about some of the players he has, and he had mentioned, he's like, one of the players he had was Durbin Feldman.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember him.
Durbin Feldman. I said, oh, yeah, Durbin Feldman. He was the guy from TCU they drafted.
Supposed
and
to come
and
right
everybody
out.
Was like, he's coming right. Was that 2018?
Yeah.
2018. And the poor kid, man. Because I did the same thing as other podcasts did. It's, hey, we're going to interview you because everybody says you're going to be in the major leagues this year. And then it was cart before the horse. And it never worked out with the Red Sox. I think he went to the A's afterward, and then he actually got released from Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Yeah, so but anyway, blast from the blast when it comes to Durbin Feldman. All right, well, Gordo, I want to ask you, we just had Tristan Casas on, and we talked about a lot of stuff. There's a lot to pick through in that interview. I always love picking through interviews. What was the thing? What were some of the things that jumped out for you?
Well, when we talked about, as you said, the meat and potato stuff, you know, you ask him about the trade rumors, and he obviously sees them. He talks about the guys that he sees connected to the Red Sox when his name comes up in trade talks. He says, those are pretty good players. To me, I thought he was going to say, I'm better than those guys.
Yeah.
I think he is better than those guys that they talk about, or so, that the rumors say.
So give me some of the names that he may have seen that he was attached to.
I mean, you look at the Mariners. There was that report that
Luis
Red Sox.
Castillo.
Yeah, there was the Luis Castillo thing. There was a report that the Red Sox offered him for either Brian Wu or Bryce Miller. You could look at the Pirates. Jared Jones comes up. I don't know if that was like a direct report with him, but we know the Red Sox have talked to the Pirates about those pitchers, and we know that they've been willing to part with Tristan Casas. So you can kind of connect the dots there. I just think, especially with where the Red Sox are at right now, where their starting pitching's at, where their offense is at, Tristan Casas is more important to this team than any pitcher that they could acquire for him today.
Yeah, I get, like, upgrading pitching. I get, like, having depth of pitching and everything else. But when we're talking about 2025, and we started our show today at 1 o'clock talking to Lou Merlone and we talked about Bregman. And I'm sorry, man. Like, I can't get past it. I can't get past it where this guy, because of where this team is right now, he fits so perfectly. And also, I'm probably wrong. I'm wrong a ton of times. I wasn't like on the Jordan Montgomery train as much as a lot of people, but certainly a lot of people thought you get Jordan Montgomery, you're in the conversation. I think that the way the American League is set up right now, the way that the Red Sox are set up right now, if you sign Alex Bregman, I think that you have a chance as a World Series contender. Like, you might already, maybe, but really, I think the piece that he represents, I don't know if I felt that way about a Red Sox team of getting the one, even with J.D. Drew. We knew, I'm sorry.
J.D. Martinez.
J.D. Martinez.
Yeah.
J.D. Martinez, we knew that was a good fit. They needed a DH and fine. And you know what? Ultimately, you could have said that about him. He was that guy. He was the guy he was that final piece that made them the World Series team that they were. I feel the same way with Bregman.
And you talked about last year with the Jordan Montgomery thing. Even if you believed in Jordan Montgomery, the difference between last year and this year was last year it was sign Jordan Montgomery to prove that you will spend money and to maybe be a playoff team.
It was and Gordo, it was all about the Jordan Montgomery thing was all about wanting to be in the big boys club. Like, people didn't admit that. Like, they
that was what it was all about.
Right, right.
People just wanted to see that they
right, right.
Money.
They were they had made Jordan Montgomery out to be, Corbin Burns.
We had a conversation the last year around this time, and we were talking about Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery, and I remember we agreed, like, I think Blake Snell is better, and people were only talking about Jordan Montgomery. But regardless, like, just look at where the team was then versus where it is now, where the American League was last year versus where it is now. It's Jordan Montgomery, if they signed him last year and he performed, maybe they're a playoff team. Like, that, it gets them from 500 to maybe a playoff team. This is different.
No, this is
different. They might be a playoff team
this
now.
This is if you had to put a percentage on the reason why fans wanted the player, if for Jordan Montgomery, whether people want to admit it or not, it was 70% of wanting to be back to where it used to be, where you were in the mix for legit free agents. That's and as it turned out, that wasn't even the case, where he signs a one-year contract with the Arizona Diamondbacks. But Bregman's different. Bregman is that. There's no question about
it. Bregman, to a lesser degree, but yes.
Right. I mean, Bregman is like, this is, they definitely have lost benefit of the doubt when it comes to spending big money. They can talk about all this stuff. They can talk about identifying players. They can talk about intent and decisiveness and aggressiveness and all of that. And they did it with Crochet. Okay. But the one thing that they still haven't done is gotten in the big pool of free agent in terms of 3 or more years, whatever it is. That's what people want to see. That's part of the Bregman conversation. But I think if it was 70% for Montgomery, is 30%.
That's where I was going to go to, around 30%.
It is.
People see the roster and people see the league. People see the opportunity.
Are you like me? Are you like me where your evolution of liking the Bregman fit has sort of amped up as the offseason? Because I think when it starts, we're focused maybe on all these guys. And maybe I think more people were focused on Teoscar Hernandez than anything, right? But then they miss out on Soto, and you hear all of a sudden, but Bregman. Bregman's their guy. Bregman's their guy. Bregman's their guy. And you're like, oh, Bregman. I guess. But really, where's he going to play? Oh, he can play second base? Oh.
That's what did it for me, Rob.
Oh.
Because obviously Juan Soto is Juan Soto, but – and this is the reason why I'm so much higher on the Red Sox getting Bregman than Arenado, is because initially, like when that article from Ken Rosenthal dropped, I think like September of last year, the thought process was sign Bregman, Devers moves over to first, and you trade Tristan Casas for pitching. And I just wasn't going to be on board with that sequence. I think you become a worse offensive team with that sequence. But once you heard Bregman was willing to play second base, the Red Sox today have an opening at second base. Obviously, there's guys in the organization, you know, Vaughn Grissom, Christian Campbell, David Hamilton, that they believe in, that fans should believe can play that spot if they're given that opportunity. But it's so tantalizing to look at the different things that Bregman offers that this team needs.
You know, there is the element. There is the element of you don't want to pay everything. You don't want to allocate all your resources for just, hey, we're going to go after it this year. I get that. But still, you can do both. You could absolutely do both with Alex Bregman, and you can still manage that second base position. You can still do it. Yeah, you have a lot of guys who can play over there, but there's a lot of guys who can start in the minor leagues, right?
Yep.
Vaughn Grissom has options, correct?
Yep, all of them do.
All of them do.
Every single one of them.
David Hamilton, all of them do. They all have options. So what you do, it's very, very simple. For where you are at, you delay the start of any one of those guys, and you put Bregman at second base, you say, here we go. We're up there with the Yankees. We're the team to beat in the American League.
And they'd be talked about like that.
Well, I mean, how can you not talk to them about that? And I'm not just saying that. I honestly believe that. I mean, you can't discount the acquisition of Crochet. You can't discount if they get another reliever and they get Alex Bregman. To me, I'll say it. I think that they probably are the best team in the American League.
I don't know if I'd fight you on that, Rob. I don't think I'd fight you.
I mean,
obviously, other teams are going to make additions. Like, I'm looking straight at the Baltimore Orioles. Well, they find a way to get someone to replace Corbin Burns. Like, I don't know. The Yankees obviously look good, but we'll see.
They're definitely in the conversation.
And
But you, a reliever, a legit late-inning reliever, and Alex Bregman, boom.
And you're on your way.
And you know what also you are? You're a more popular team in Boston, which is, you know, this is a great event. We're at the Fenway Fest. We're at Fenway Park. They always get a lot of people, whether it's Foxwoods or it's Springfield, whatever it is. But still, there is that reluctance to do a town hall, right? Yep. I mean, that's just the fact.
There's no public speaking from like the high-ranking Red Sox officials. You're not going to see Breslow, Kennedy.
No, if they had done what they did in the offseason and they trade for Crochet, they got Walker Buehler, and you get Alex Bregman, you can actually, Red Sox, have your town hall. You can have your town
and
hall.
It'll go well.
It will go well.
Yeah.
I mean, and you don't have to have a Netflix intro to it. It's crazy.
And it's crazy because, Rob, what you just talked about, they're one move away, and they haven't spent a dollar beyond on a free agent deal beyond a year this offseason. And like we're in an offseason where Sam Kennedy said to the media that we're willing and able to go over the luxury tax if need be. So the ability we know is there. The player is there. The fit is there. It's just, can and will they get it done? Are they willing to do what needs to happen to get it done?
617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Gordo from Play Tessie. We're here till 4 o'clock. We're going to have the Cavalcade of Stars are going to continue to come through here at Fenway Park. We have the aforementioned Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony. They're going to be together. It's always better when they're together. They always
come as a package deal.
Anytime you have players together, it's just better because they're more comfortable with, you know, just being around each other. You know, I got your back. I'm your wingman, whatever it is. I you know where I learned that lesson, Gordo?
Where?
At Twin Peaks with Rick Porcello and Joe Kelly. The Rick Porcello, Joe Kelly podcast.
Old-timer.
Doug Lane was there. I mean, he was there. He saw it. Some of the best podcasts, some of the best shows of all time. This guy sitting around drinking, eating, whatever it is. That's what it's all. This is really what this is about. We're just sitting around talking to players. Tristan Cassis. Hey, Tristan. Hey, Liam Hendricks. Oh, what's that? You like to buy hot dogs at gas station? who knew? I mean, we're just guys talking. But, you know, and it's so easy, and I appreciate all you guys at Play Tessie because it's so easy just to talk, and we've done this show. We'll continue to do it throughout the season, and it literally is you sit down and you just talk. And as we sit here, what we're talking about, it's probably the same stuff we talked about last year, like we talked about with Jordan Montgomery, right? Except we're talking about with Alex Bregman. I mean, I guess the question I would have is,
like, different evolutions of the same conversation.
Is it? Because we still, going through Breslow's first year, we still, I don't know where you started, like, giving up hope that they were going to spend money, right? And the one moment I remember from Breslow last year, he said, this isn't predictive of what we're going to do going forward. That's right there. We should have known, well, no, they're not going to spend money.
And he said it, like, 10 times to 10 different outlets.
Right. This isn't predictive of how we're going to spend money. And then, of course, during the season, we get the Financial Times thing from John Henry saying this is a winning the World Series. This is a 30-1, 20-1. All right, well, you weren't, you know, we know that you weren't really trying, right? So, or you weren't trying to the level where you're going to allocate a lot of money because you're throwing around those odds. We can make that whole case of, like, how ridiculous that was because this isn't blackjack. You can actually buy more cards to make your odds better. So, but that time has come and gone. You hit this offseason more decisive, more aggressive, all that. All right. You got Aroldis Chapman. You got Walker Buehler. Good for you. The biggest thing, not even close, Garrett Crochet, which is, one of the things about the Crochet, and we're going to get to the free agency in a second, but with Crochet, people have to understand this. I think, Gordo, that if you said, what is the most difficult thing for a GM to do? Not, like, difficult in terms of getting their head around, in terms of feeling that they're secure in their own existence. It is, the more difficult thing is making that trade than it is spending the owner's money. Even though it seems like, it's like a lot of times these guys are spending their own money, which they aren't. You know, they're spending the owner's money. But two, and Brian Abraham, the farm director, was on with us earlier. And he said that, like, this, to trade away four guys like that, who you see the absolute best in Braden Montgomery and Kyle Teal and Winkelmann Gonzalez and Chase Mydroth, all those guys. I would not be surprised at all if all four of them find their way to the major leagues at some point.
Oh, yeah, no doubt in my mind. And I agree with you, Rob. It's for a GM, like, there's different roles in this operation here. The owner's the one with the money. The GM is the one drafting, developing, overseeing the development of these prospects for years in a lot of cases. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's got to be harder. It's got to be more uncomfortable, to use the buzzword of this offseason. It's got to be more uncomfortable for Breslow to trade those prospects because That has trading prospects, especially for.
I don't think I asked you this.
What?
If you did the Who Says No, you got to love your Who Says No.
Oh, yeah. This Every
how,
week.
This is how we met.
Who says no? That's true. It's how.
The art of Who Says No.
Yeah.
If you did the Who Says No of the Garrett Crochet trade, like a year or whatever, like 3 months ago, if you did that, Who Says No? Who Says No? The White Sox or the Red Sox?
Well, no. Both teams say yes.
No.
It happened.
I understand. Jeez, come on. Play the game, will you?
All right, if you'd asked me at the beginning of the offseason, I probably would have said if one team was going to say no, it would be the Red Sox.
Because you didn't believe they would give up those guys.
I definitely would have been hesitant to believe that they would give up two of the top 50 prospects in baseball.
Okay.
But that's what getting uncomfortable is. Like, I'm not
– Right.
This just because I would have said the Red Sox say no doesn't mean that it's not a trade that I think the Red Sox should make if they have to make it, especially when they did make it. And when we did talk about Who Says No's with Garrett Crochet earlier in the offseason – and we talked, would you give up one of these big prospects, two of these big prospects? My answer to that always, it was always contingent on who has signed, what pitchers have signed. And by that point, Snell off the board, Fried off the board, Burns, I'm sure they knew, was going west. Mm. This was your one chance to get that ace,
yeah.
to get that guy. So they did what they had to do. And given that circumstance, it's a deal they had to make.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Allison in Cambridge. Allison, always great to talk to you. I hope you're safe and everything's going well. How you doing, Allison?
Thank you. Hey, guys. Good afternoon and Happy New Year. I just wonder about our defense. We really need to improve our defense and getting better pitchers. I mean, getting more pitchers and better pitchers, perhaps. We need to have good defense. And I had thought that Craig Breslow was going to do some creative things. Everyone agreed that we had an extra of certain positions, a shortage of right-handed bats. There were things. And also, I really do think that Yoshida just has to be passed off with other people. I mean, we can't have him taking up the DH spot. That makes no sense. And so what do you think about the defense, and what do you think about Yoshida?
Well, Allison, thanks for the call. I think that the defense is a Bregman conversation once again.
That's what I was gonna
And you know, they'll every time they're asked about the defense, what they'll default to is two things. Is, well, these guys are getting better. Devers has shown flashes. And most importantly, they'll say a full year of Trevor Story makes all the difference. All right. That's fine.
If you get that,
it's fine.
It does.
It's fine. But the reality, too, is that, you know, there's only so many places that you can improve the defense. Yeah, we're not talking about the outfield defense. We're talking about the infield defense. We're talking about especially up the middle defense. We're talking about Devers defense. And Bregman, the people who have any question that this guy could play second base don't know what they're talking about.
I heard it from Alex Cora today. He says he would be a Gold Glove second baseman.
Yeah.
He did say it.
Yeah, well, he said it. I said this to you at the time at the winter meetings when every manager sits down for a half hour and Alex Cora did his half hour. And he sits down, and he asked about Alex Bregman, and he answers a fairly lengthy answer about Alex Bregman about playing second base, which you don't normally hear about a free agent. And it was clear, like, hey, no. He can play second base. Oh, by the way, Alex, are you listening? You can play second base. You can play second base for me. So he. That is a very real solution. By the way, shortstop in college, his entire college career as well. But Allison, this is what I would tell you. I just think that's the solution. If you aren't going to be willing to move Devers off third base and say, if you acquired Arenado, you got to put him at third base. You have to.
Oh, no. If you're acquiring Nolan Arenado for anything but third base, it makes no sense.
Yeah. So, but that's the answer right now. And other than that,
I mean, you look around
the diamond. More ground balls. I don't know.
You look around the diamond, Rob. They were bottom 10 in defense in every infield position last year. But you look at first base. You had Dom Smith for some of the year, Casas for some of the year. Second base, you had a revolving door of guys, most of whom were not particularly good defenders. Shortstop, you had Sedan. I think most of the games were around half of the games, and his metrics didn't grade out super well at short. And then you had Devers at third, and we know that conversation. If you have Story at short, Bregman at second, a full season of Casas at first, and then we've heard everything from what we've seen too. Rafael Devers playing third base when Trevor Story plays short, he's actually pretty good. He can play the position. So, yeah, I agree with them when they say a full season of Trevor Story makes all the difference, but What I'll say to that is, to guarantee that you improve your defense, you got to have someone that can play shortstop behind him. And I think the answer to that really depends on where is Marcelo Meyer in his development path. How early can he be ready to contribute at the major league level if need be?
All right, that's Gordo Playtesting. I'm Rob Bradford. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Tim is on the line, and Tim says that I'm crazy if I think that the Red Sox are one player away. Which I want to, before you go, I want to document that I said they're two players away. So go ahead, Tim. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, good. I'm not going to Happy New Year you, because my cutoff on Happy New Year's is probably about January 5th.
The curb anyway, enthusiasm. Isn't it January 3rd? Isn't that the curb thing, the Larry David thing? No?
Something like that.
But hey, listen, I respect you for that tremendously.
Well, thank you. Yeah, they're not two players away, Rob. If they don't get Bregman, this team is maybe 500. Too many injuries. The defense stinks. You got to move Devers off third. You can't count on Story. I don't know what Yoshida's deal is. They got no right-handed bat. The Chapman thing, we'll see how it plays out. But it's the same old with the Red Sox. Bregman's, I mean, the GM there is handcuffed. He can't spend anything. He's trying his best. But they're going to be maybe 500.
Thanks. All right, no, I mean, this. Listen, and Tim, I appreciate your call. There's certainly that way to think about it. Like, in my opinion, in terms of what they need, I think they absolutely need another leading reliever. That was the other guy I was talking about. And I do just think, for about 9 different things that he checks off the box for this particular team, that Bregman fits that mold. Like, this, here's a way to look at it, Gordo. Going to the trade deadline last year, if you could have done significant moves like that, guess what? The Red Sox are in it. And this is one of the reasons. The American League stinks. The American League stinks. So it's not like I'm saying the Red Sox are the 2018 Red Sox. I'm saying that they'll be good enough if you make those moves.
I mean, look who was in the World Series last year and the roster that they had.
Yeah, and Joe Kelly told me that team stunk.
They did. They did stink.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it's, I don't know. I get there. When people like Tim call, I understand, and I'm sympathetic to that, and I'm not going to argue with him, right? Because the Red Sox, in a lot of ways, have lost benefit of the doubt. It's a results business. It just is. I can only go with the player that I think is so important, the piece of the puzzle that is so important in so many ways, including, by the way, the better version, better player, but same vibe of Justin Turner in that clubhouse as a position player is so, so big.
And you think about where they are in their developmental path with some of these kids, and we talk about the big three, and these guys are all most likely going to make their debuts this year. Who do you want in that clubhouse, in that locker room, in that dugout, with them at the batting cage, telling them this is, they've never been in the bigs before.
No.
Tell them how it goes.
They've never been in a batting cage before.
They've never been in that batting cage before a big league game.
Big league batting cage. You know, never. But
not before a big league game.
That's what spring training's for. All right. We're here at Fenway Fest. That's Gordo Playtesting. I'm Rob Bradford. We've got Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell coming up a little bit later, along with Pat, also from Playtesting. There's a lot of good stuff going on. A lot of people are excited. Yay, baseball, right?
Yay. Oh, that's the other catchphrase. Yay, baseball.
All right. Well, let it be said. We appreciate everybody who's here. We appreciate everybody who supports the cause. And we appreciate intern Tom and producer Tom and the guy, he's the straw that stirs a drink today, right?
Part-time Tom? Full-time Tom?
I don't know. He's the man.
Love Tom.
All right, producer Tom. If you want to talk to Tom, call 617-779-7937. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. Be back after this. All right, welcome back to Baseballs and Boring. Live from the Fenway Fest. Live from Fenway Fest at Fenway Park.
It's a good song here. Also, we were talking about guitar here during the break. This is a good Guitar Hero song.
Big number 93 just walked by?
Yep.
There you go. A lot of people walking by. We have Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony coming up. We've already had a cavalcade of stars, Lou Maloney, Brian Abraham, Farm Director, Tristan Casas, Liam Hendricks, Tristan Casas. You reminded me. There's a lot of things I had asked you, and then we sort of pivoted off to other things, takeaway from the Casas interview. You reminded me, out of the gate, he committed to a Baseballs and Boring tattoo, which in pure Tristan broadcast's fashion wasn't just saying, oh, yeah, Rob, I'm going to do the same one that you and Joe Kelly did, which at least is what Alex Cora has committed to, and Pete Fatsy and Brian Abraham. But no, he said he wants to do an BIB and then make it into a BIB, like a BIB.
It's a big day for baseball, is boring tattoo commitments, but this one might be the most creative that we've heard. It is the most creative that we heard.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Like
a bib. Bib.
A bib. Bib.
Yeah. Yeah.
A bib.
Yeah. So, listen, if anyone out there wants to get a baseball is boring and tattoo, and by the way, the playtesty guys who are all here, Gordo, that's who you hear talking, and we got Pat coming up, and Sammy was already on. Joe Braverman, the producer, standing by helping me hand out bracelets and stickers. I appreciate that. But if you've all committed to getting baseballs and boring tattoos, right? Correct? If the Red Sox win the World Series?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, come on.
I didn't say anything.
Really? Really?
Yeah, bring it on.
Really? Really? Come on. The fans are all here. They're all around us. They're all booing you.
The peer pressure is on.
Like, in full throat, they're booing Gordo. Oh, boo. Boo for Gordo.
Yeah, see Sammy Sock?
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, so we had talked, and one of the things he also said, which I tweeted out, he said that he is not, he makes it very clear, I do not ever mind you asking me about my contract, right?
Which we appreciate.
Well, we always appreciate
yes.
that. And so we asked him about his contract. He said he has not talked about a contract extension with the Red Sox since last winter.
Which I suppose makes sense considering
they're
offering him up to every team.
Yeah, but you have to ask. I mean, that you have to ask.
Because, no, you got to.
Because if the other part about this is that maybe they feel like part of trading him is that we don't think we're going to sign him. And I know he's down the road, but still, you know, the farther you get away or the farther you get closer to free agency, the more uncomfortable it is. It's called Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Right? So
it's a unique circumstance with Casas, though, because, I mean, obviously – they couldn't get something done with him last year. Obviously, this year, even less likely just because he knows what he's going to be. He knows the value that he will have, and he didn't show it last year because he was hurt.
But think about this, Gordo, is that think about how different the perception is of this topic now compared to a year ago. And even through spring training, believe me, going through spring training, we asked him like every day. Like almost every day. Hey, contract extension. And he was very honest, I think, one of the first days there, talking about, yeah, around Christmas time, they came to me.
He was driving in the car, right?
Yeah. So, but think about like how that has changed, where now we're sitting there and it's not even a conversation. Now, you know, we've sort of pivoted because contract extension talk is always the best talk. And we never saw Brian Bello and Sidon Rafaela coming, but we were more talking about other guys like, well, maybe Bayo.
Bayo a little bit.
Yeah, Bayo a little bit.
Rafael a little bit.
Hauk. Yes. Hauk was another one.
Yep. Willy Abreu, I think, had a little bit
of not really. But Crochet is at the top of the list right now. Not even close. And I will say this. You know who should also be at the top of the list?
Roman Anthony.
The guy who's coming on, Roman Anthony, right?
Agreed, 100%.
That's the way the baseball works right now. That's the way of the world.
And if you don't get him locked up and he comes up and succeeds with how young he is – very much incentive for him to sign anything.
So we'll ask him, right? We'll ask him.
Yep.
Have you had contract talks? And if he stumbles around his no, then we know it's a yes. In terms of the Casas interview, what else? Anything else?
I liked the beard talk. The beard talk was good. I would like to see him post a picture of the half chin strap lightning bolt that he was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that. As men, when we shave our facial hair, we like to put funny shapes in it if possible. I can't grow much facial hair, so I'm not lucky enough to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But as you see with Tristan Casas today, great beard for the second offseason in a row.
Yeah.
Grows it with his dad. It's wholesome. It's father-son. It's great. But I want to see pictures when he does shave it, when he goes with that light.
I am just fascinated by his whole social media presence. And he says he doesn't have a team. He does it all himself. But when do you make the commitment in the offseason? Now is the time to take videos of myself taking swings without a shirt on. I know for me that's usually around December 13th, but, you know, everybody's different. For Tristan Casas, like, all of a sudden now we get this flurry of this, right? Correct?
Yes.
Maybe it's around the trade talk. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, he's not the one posting it. I think it's like his...
No, he said it's him.
No, I thought it was coming from a different account. I know he controls his own socials, but I think it's like with him... And with other people, like for me,
It's oh, you have your own people?
No,
they're all right here.
I don't have my own people, but in terms of posting shirtless swing picks,
yeah.
It really
you always have someone else do it.
It's about, no, but if I'm willing to do it, it's about, am I in the best shape of my life?
Yeah.
What percentage of muscle capacity have I reached? If it's below 50%, there's no shirtless.
Full muscle capacity.
If you're at full muscle capacity, those videos can go up as soon as November.
Yep.
If you're below 50%, it's just, you can't, it can't happen.
By the way, it is, in case people want to know this, and they want to mark it on the calendar, just about a month from today is when basically spring training opens. I think it's around the 12th. Today's the 11th. Science would suggest today is the 11th. But I think it's around the 12th or 13th that the spring training opens. And so a month from today, you have a month. You have a month to sign Alex Bregman.
Or we go through what we did last year.
That's science.
Guys in spring training. I remember spring training was like winding down, and you guys had Breslow on the broadcast. And I think someone had just signed. It might have been Bellinger had just signed. And you're talking to Craig Breslow on a spring training broadcast of a late spring training game about Jordan Montgomery. Let's as a league, let's not do that again.
No.
Please get these guys signed.
I miss the Jordan Montgomery era. We should do a 30 for 30 on it. Well, anyway, there's a lot more to talk about. There's the Netflix stuff that we obviously came out today for the first time. A lot of people got a chance to see that. There's everything. The players have been cycled through the media. I haven't seen anything jumping out, really, other than my awesome report that City Connect uniforms are going to be green. There goes my brother, Eric, and my nephew, Adam. They're here as well. Say hello, Adam. Hi. Hey, there he is. All right.
It's a blood connection.
Yeah, there is. Yes, typically that is a blood connection when it's your brother and nephew. Yes.
Pat was pointing at him earlier saying it was your brother. I didn't believe him.
I mean, David Ortiz said he looks better than I do. Congratulations. That's
wow. That's a big compliment.
That's your early birthday present.
Wow.
So anyway, there's a lot going on here. Like we said, we appreciate everybody. It's been a lot of fun. This thing's always a lot of fun, and we're going to be going. We'll be out on the town as well after if everyone wants to mingle with us. That's the best part of this, and that's one of the things that kind of sucks that we're not out in Springfield or Foxwoods, because you just immediately go to the whatever sports bar there and you see everybody. We're going to have to go someplace that maybe rhymes with Marn Mouse. So, but Gordo, excellent job. Next up is Pat. He's going to be in charge of the Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony interview, amongst other things. But good job, man.
Thanks for having me on, Rob. Love doing it.
All right. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Be back after this.